Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to Matthew 16. Just going to read a verse out of that, and you might want to just go ahead and jump to Psalm 122. That's where you may want to go. Psalm 122. Hard to believe, as hot as it was yesterday, and I had 88. I think Dad said he had 88 or 89. I had 88 in the shade. Man, it was too hot for a youper. Hard to believe. And I meant to mention this last week, and this is the truth. And those of you that were here, you can testify. I don't know if at Kinross has the higher elevation than some of the rest of the Eastern UP, but we had two snowbanks left yet last Sunday. One was right out here in front of the gymnasium, and the other was over there underneath that big pine tree. So, I do know some people don't like the snow. I do like the snow. I appreciate it. But we may have snow later in the spring than some parts of the country, but I'll tell you what we don't have. We don't have poisonous snakes. We don't have cockroaches. We don't have floods and tornadoes and hurricanes. We don't have coronavirus. We don't have any of those things in the Eastern Upper Peninsula. God is good to us. The message this morning I want to preach is the church relevant today? Our president came out on Friday, maybe it was Thursday, I don't know, but in this thing, one day kind of leads into the next, and proclaimed that the church is essential. And it is, man, the church is relevant. You say, preacher, does the church matter? Is it really needed? Yes, 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 1,000 times yes. Hear this, you can go to heaven without the church, but you'll never know the will of God and live in the will of God without the New Testament local church. The church doesn't get anybody to heaven, although it's the church that is the lighthouse and proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ and holds together the mandate that God has given for this age in which we live. Without the church, all we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone unto his own way. We all kind of go off, and eventually we all do our own thing. Praise God for the church of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 18. Some of you are well familiar with this. Jesus said, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock," talking about himself, Petra, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." You've heard me say this a few times. The old ship Zion is not a perfect church. And the hull may be battered, and the sails may be torn, but one day soon, it is going to sail safely into heaven's harbor. And you've heard me say this as well. The old ship Zion is not a cruise ship. It's a battleship. Man, we're here on purpose. We are here by design. God has a plan for this age, this day in which we live. It is the New Testament church. Now, I'll say it again, because there are a lot of people, all they talk about is the family of God and the universal church. That word you don't find in the Bible, by the way. That's the church prospect. I believe in the body of Christ, all those saved from Pentecost until the rapture. But that church never meets on this earth. That church never sends out missionaries. That church never celebrates the Lord's table. That church never baptizes converts. That church doesn't get the work of God done. You understand, that's the church prospect. That's future. That's when we're all together in heaven. But right now, God has ordained the New Testament local church, that if they make all of those together, make up the body of Christ, or a big part of the body of Christ. God has a plan, and it's he would build his church, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Hey, an army that has no organization will never win a battle, and will certainly never win the war. That's why he ordained the New Testament local church. It's everywhere in the Word of God. Just the New Testament alone, just briefly, I wrote these down this morning just before Sunday school. We have mentioned in the New Testament the Church of Jerusalem, the Church at Antioch, Church of Philippi, Thessalonica, Corinth, Rome, Ephesus, Sardis, Thyatira, Pergamos, Philadelphia, Laodicea, Smyrna, the churches of Asia, the churches of Macedonia, and I know I didn't get them all. God's plan is the local church. It is relevant. And I'll say this before I get to my little outline this morning. The church, a church without the gospel, a church that does not boldly proclaim the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ and the forgiveness of sinners, I'll just say it so we can all understand it, ain't worth spit.
Amen.
It's just a club. It's just a man-made denominational monstrosity. That's all it is. It's just a fashion show for Sunday mornings. It's just so people can say, that's what I belong. That's what I am. God has a plan for the New Testament local church. And I wish I could preach 10 messages in one this morning so I could get it, all of it out there, and you'd all understand it, in order. You're just going to have to keep coming to church here or a church of like faith and learn the truth, a church that preaches the Bible, and you'll get it after time. God intends the church to meet. Go to Psalm 122 if you have not already turned there. Psalm 122. Oh, let me read Psalm 23 and verse 6. You're familiar with the 23rd Psalm. Let me read that 6th verse, the final verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Look at that same, look at Psalm 27, verses 4 and 5. Again, King David. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, and in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. You said, I thought that was talking about heaven. There ain't no trouble in heaven. All right? David said, man, I run to the tabernacle. I run to the house of God. I love the house of God. One thing I've desired all of my life, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 122, turn there very, very quickly. Psalm 122. The word church is found in the New Testament 144 times. It is assumed another 5 times. That is 149 times. I thank God for live stream before I read the scripture. I thank God for it. We have a whole lot of new friends. We have a bigger outreach. And if I've been asked one time, I've been asked 24 times in the last 2 weeks, Pastor, you're not going to quit the live stream, are you? Pastor, you're not going to stop with the live stream. I said, no, we're going to try to get better. We're going to continue it. We're going to consider that one of our ministries. But you got to know this. Now, if you're an invalid and you can't come, you're sick and you can't come, you work and you want to catch a church service and you can download it, you can watch it later on. A lot of people are doing that. That's wonderful for that. If you're going to another church of like faith, a fundamentalist type church, God bless you. That is wonderful. But listen, there's nothing that comes close to when God's people congregate. God intends us to be together. Live streaming is wonderful, but it's second best, a distant second at best. If all you're doing is live streaming, you don't participate, you spectate. If all you're doing is live streaming, you don't excite others. We're going to read that in Hebrews in chapter 10. If all you're doing is live streaming, you don't experience the congregational singing. It minimizes the altar call or time of decision. There's no accountability. There's no fellowship. Just your own little family. You probably get a little bit tired of your husband once in a while. You know, it's just not the same. You understand that? Go to Psalm 122. You're probably already there. Here David writes this. It is a psalm of degrees. They sang this. The 12 tribes of Israel sang this on their way to worship. They actually ascended Mount Zion and Mount Moriah because that's where the tabernacle ended up. That's where the temple was. And so while they were ascending to the temple of God, while they were ascending to the Old Testament temple, they sang these psalms. You picture that in your mind. The 12 tribes gathering on the feast days and on the high Sabbaths. And they loved it. Oh, David loved it. The king of Israel. Oh, man, he loved it because he was a man after God's own heart. Verse 1 says, I was glad. It excites me. The thrill of gathering. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You go to be there. It's great to be there. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. They sang as they marched to Zion. And by the way, worship, I heard a preacher say this week. He's a Southern Baptist preacher, but he said it good. He said it real good. He said this worship thing is a team sport. Live streaming doesn't get it done. It's something about the brethren. I'll read New Testament in a moment. Verse 4 says, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment and thrones of the house of David. There's security, the security of God is found there. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that they prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. Peace and success in the family of God. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be with thee, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Church, the lighthouse, the outpost in the wilderness, the essential, the gotta be. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews in chapter 10. Hebrews in chapter 10. Again, this is God's plan. God knew that the church would still be here in the year 2020. And here we are. And he had a plan. We hear all about the churches of Asia Minor in the book of Revelation. And the Philadelphia church, that's where we want to be. And that's who we want to be. God said that cultures would rise, people would come, nations would come, and they would go. Denominations would rise. You know what a denomination is? Man hijacking God's plan. And trying to build a following instead of following God. So he said, God knew all of that was going to happen. Let me give you a real brief synopsis of the plan of God. God created Adam and Eve, put them in the garden. Adam, Eve, they all fellowship. They walked with God in the cool of the night. Adam sinned. I told you this last week. Adam sinned. He was banished from the garden. Right then a promise was given, the first messianic promise that a Savior would come. And that his name is Jesus. Then God blessed. They procreated and God blessed. And you know about the flood. So eventually God ordained the time of the patriarchs, of which Abraham is one. And Abraham was the one man on earth that honored God with all that he had. And God made him a rich man because he honored God. Should have been in Sunday school this morning. Because he honored God. And out of his loins came his son. And then the 12 tribes of Israel. And God gave the truth. And the oracles of God were entrusted to the Jews. Were entrusted to Israel. And then eventually Jesus comes and he fulfills the law. He was the promised one that would fulfill the law. And then we get to the place where we are right now, and it happened on the day of Pentecost. Then it was the age of the church, or what the Bible refers to as the time of the Gentiles. God knew this was going to happen. And God said, okay, I've given Jews opportunity. Now I'm going to give the Gentile world the opportunity as well. No difference between the Jew and the Gentile. Not now, not because of Jesus. But now it's the church of Jesus Christ that carries the ball. Hebrews in chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another. Not a lot of people willing to do that. A lot of self-absorbed people in this world. All they know and all they care about is them and theirs. We four and no more. And that's a sad truth. But if you're a mature saint of God or even a babe in Christ and you're part of the church, we're commanded. Consider one another. All right? And by the way, the word ecclesia means called out assembly. The word synagogue means assembly. Understand that. Congregation, that is another Bible word. Assembly, that's another Bible word. The church, it's God's intent that the church would assemble, that it would meet, that it would be organized with its mandate. He says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. There have always been those that have forsaken the assembly of the New Testament local church. And if they're genuinely born again, God bless them. We're going to see them in heaven. But you know what? You're not going to be in the will of God. You're disobeying the word of God by not assembling with God's people. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Time out, all right? I understand what's going on right now. I am not chewing out our people that are not here this morning, all right? Because there are a lot of them that are not here this morning. God bless you. Man, I miss you. I miss your face. You might not miss my face, but I miss your face. I get told all the time, Pastor Rader, you got a face for radio. And I certainly do. You know, we need to congregate. As soon as you're comfortable, man, come on back now. The president's done the right thing. Come on back and no judgment. Wear a mask, whatever it takes. We'd love to have you as soon as you're comfortable. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So in other words, the closer we get to the return of Christ, the rapture of the church, that we ought to be that much more faithful. By the way, in the early church, they met 7 days a week. I can show you that in the Word of God, in the book of Acts. Man, they were serious. And then the Bible tells us, it tells us in Colossians, judge no man in meat, drink, holy day, new moon, or Sabbath. Another sermon, but the meat or drink, those are meat offerings and drink offerings. Not oh, don't judge me if I'm drinking a beer. That's not what it's talking about. Judge no man in meat, drink, holy day, new moon, feast day, and Sabbath. We are not under the ceremonial law. We're not under it no longer since Jesus came. He fulfilled the law. You say, preacher, don't you honor God on the Sabbath? The Sabbath is Saturday. We're a New Testament church. We meet on the first day of the week. First day of the week. That is when Jesus rose from the dead. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 9. First day of the week. That's when Paul preached and they broke bread. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. First day of the week. That's when they collected tithes and offerings. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 12. First day of the week. That's when John, in the Spirit, God showed him all the things that would happen in the future. John the Revelator. That is Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10. All on the first day of the week. So we meet on Sunday, not the Sabbath. That was Old Testament. This is New Testament. We meet on Sunday. We call it the Lord's Day. We celebrate our Lord. It kind of prepares us for the week. It's one day in seven set apart for the glory of God, and we assemble as a church. But I don't want to scare you in case some of you are thinking about, well, maybe kind of coming to Fundamental Baptist Church. We meet three times a week. Baptist people, they're kind of stuck on this kind of thing. We meet on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And a lot of us, in fact, the majority of us, come to Sunday school on Sunday morning as well. I love the Baptist people. I love what they stand for. I love who they are. We're kind of a hymn singing, Bible thumping, sinner loving, Christ honoring congregation. We don't think we're better than anybody else, and I want to undo that. I want to undo that every chance I get. We're just like everybody else, except we're saved by grace. You say, well, you got an awful nice facility out there now. Well, you know, it's been 40 years, and God has blessed us. One man in Pickford said this not too long ago. I was told this by two people that he has said this, and he said it once in my presence as well. He doesn't come to this church. He said that Rader, Pastor Rader over there, everything he touches turns to gold. And that's not true. But I'll tell you this. You honor God, he'll honor you. That's how that works. I've been tithing 24% of my salary. I think it's 24% for years and years and years and years. And I have more than I ever thought I'd ever have. God bless us. You know, the people that struggle the most are the people that they're not givers. I feel bad. I do. I want you to get on the inside of that. But Baptist people, it's three times a week. Thank God for you, and trust that God is going to continue to bless. Oh, I started to say this. We don't think we're better than anybody else. It's Christ's righteousness. Go to 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 27. 21, verse 21. Oh, I want to say this about going to church on Sunday and I'm prayer meeting on Wednesday night. We don't do church. That's the wrong word. Hear me. I'm splitting hairs here. We don't do church. We are church. We are church. The church is not a building. The church is not a program. The called out body of Christ is made up of born again, baptized believers. We are the church. We practice the church because we are the church, but we don't do church. The church was purchased by the very blood of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20 and verse 27. Here in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is my story. I traded my rags for his riches. I traded my poverty that I might be a child of the King. And he did it all. I want to say this 100 times. I want to say it 7 times till Sunday. I want everybody to understand it. Tim Rader's going to heaven. But Tim Rader's not going to heaven because of anything he has done. Tim Rader is going to heaven because of the righteousness of the very Son of God who died on the cross and shed his blood that a sinner might have eternal life. And I put my faith in that righteousness. I put my faith in that Son of God that died on the cross for me. I'm going to heaven, just read it right here in verse 21. I'm going to heaven because of the imputed righteousness of Christ, not my own. I'll let you in on a little secret. I don't have any righteousness. I'll share another shocker with you. Neither do you. You have nothing that makes you worthy of heaven. I have nothing that I can claim, oh, I deserve to go to heaven. It's Jesus. He's my salvation. My salvation is a person, and I've received him into my heart and been born into the family of God. It's Christ's righteousness. That's my story. I'm not going to be dressed in the rags of self-righteousness. I don't get to heaven that way. It's Christ. We meet on the Lord's Day. The church is God's idea. The church is Holy Spirit enabled. Well, let's just go right to Acts. And go to Revelation 3, 7, and 8. I see I'm running out of time. Revelation chapter 3. And verses 7 and 8. Just verse 8 will do. The church that is not a building. The church. And the Bible uses the word building as a metaphor for the church. It also uses the word army. It also uses the word family. And it's a metaphor. The church is people that Christ builds. He's ordained the New Testament local churches. He sets them up strategically to proclaim the gospel, a world of darkness, a lighthouse to hold on to the ropes. Because here's what had happened. If there were no church, we all eventually, water kind of finds its own level. We would all just continue to be more and more involved in the world. And nobody holding the line, more and more we'd kind of drift away one at a time. We'd pull others with us. And before long, it'd be a very casual relationship with God. And before long, the gospel would not be, just to test yourself, if this is true or not, when's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? And you're a church-going person. When's the last time you led somebody to Christ? Were it not for the churches that God has ordained, where would we be today? It's a terrible thought. It's a sad thought. It says in verse 8 of Revelation 3, I know thy works. Talking to the Philadelphia church, I have set before thee an open door. I referred to this 2 weeks ago. And no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word. There were biblicists. And hast not denied my name. Because you're holding on to the truth. You are the church I am going to use just before the rapture, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. The Laodicean church will be there, very casual church, thinks it's got everything together because it has riches and it is popular. By the way, we have a great high priest, don't we? Amen. That was 2 weeks ago. You know what I wanted to say and I forgot to say it that morning? We don't have a cool high priest. We've got a great high priest. He is a mega high priest. He doesn't come down and as a casual kind of relationship. No. We have a mega high priest, and he's ordained the New Testament church. And he says, in the last days, I'll have some Philadelphia churches, and they'll be honoring God. You know what our vision here is? A church of 1,000 people. Not that we would just have that number 1,000. That's not it. But that we would have that big of an impact upon the culture in which we live. And somebody shared with several different people shared with me, Pastor, that church of 1,000, you got it with live stream. Man, there are people, literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And then I'm finding out more about live stream all the time. But when you share your live stream with somebody else, that isn't even in the number. And it's amazing. And the response we're getting is tremendous. That is what I want. I want them here. I want a New Testament local church that is assembling and coming together. God bless everybody who's watching. But we have been called of God. We have a mandate. It is called the Great Commission. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. This is just before the church, just before it was born, just before its birthday. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. That's right where they were. And then in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, the last places. God has enabled the church of Jesus Christ to reach the world, even in the last places, speaking of it geographically and chronologically, right up into the sound of the trumpet. Our power comes from God. Our enabling, it comes from God. I think it was 1974. There's at least one person here this morning, maybe three, that were part of that initial congregation. Just a handful of people. Harvey Hafner is their pastor. Just a small group of misfits from the wrong side of the tracks. And Fundamental Baptist Church was started. Here it is years later. Now we're a big group of misfits from the wrong side of the tracks. But we're still here. God has blessed and ordained the local church. I want to be preaching when the trumpet sounds. God, I say this humbly, we're the flagship for a lot of churches. There are churches all over northern Michigan and upper Michigan that look to this congregation for leadership. It's not a hierarchy. We're not a denomination, but we've been honored with carrying the flag, the flagship. We have a lot on our plates. It's a big responsibility. When this is all said and done, and we're going full throttle again, we better be packed to the walls, side to side and front to back. We've got plans. Man, we already got together. We're knocking out some walls. We're going at it this summer. I'm excited because if we get any of these live streaming people, and we've already gotten a few, you know, and you know what? I'm just asking God to enlarge our tent. There's a world all around us. There are three counties all around us, and it's filled with people. They are filled with people that are dying without Christ. Some of them are right at the end of their lives. Someone has got to share the truth. Someone's got to be bold. And if you're here this, you're watching my live stream right now and you're not born again, I invite you right now to come to Christ. I'm going to pray a prayer. We're going to have an altar call here. People will come and pray for others, pray for their own needs, pray for the preacher, pray for the ministry. You know, people have all kinds of needs. But if you're watching at home and you've never trusted Christ, I invite you to Him right now. Let's bow our heads together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one's looking around. You might be here in the auditorium and not saved. You might be watching the live stream and not born again. And I'm telling you, being a part of a denomination is not going to get you to heaven. Your own good works, not going to get you to heaven. Only Jesus. Let me quote the Bible. He that hath the Son, hath life. He that hath not the Son of God, hath not life. Choose Christ right now. Just pray like this in your heart. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know it. I've offended you. I've done wrong. I'm broken. Would you forgive me of my sins? Come into my heart and be my forever Savior. I trust you alone for heaven. In Jesus' name. Now, if you're at home and you prayed that, or you're here in the auditorium and you prayed that, and you meant it, that's what being born again is. That's all you needed. You just needed to have Christ. Now, you need to grow. And I invite you, get a hold of us. Tell somebody about your salvation. Come and visit the church. Visit our website. Figure out what we're about. Come on out. We're not better than anybody else. There's a warm welcome here for you.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.